monkey suit here. I'm not used to preaching. Not anymore, anyways. I was a pastor in California for 5 years, and then we moved to Papua New Guinea. So I'm used to kicking away dogs, and there's usually a pig rolling there. And this is, I'm usually, you know, in my cutoff shirt. And this is how we do it in Papua New Guinea. So a little bit different here. I do want to thank the church for all the years you guys have been praying for us and supporting us. And thank you for allowing us to be an extension of your commitment to missions. This is not, please, you guys are not here to hear about what Wayne and Gail are doing in Papua New Guinea. You guys are here to hear about what God is doing in Papua New Guinea. And this is, again, I want to thank the church body. And, you know, this is the only church, CTPC. We speak at so many churches. It's like, anyway, you guys are the only church that actually, we get letters from you guys. We got letters from you guys. And nobody else sent us letters. So, again, thank you guys. Thank you guys for, you guys are also the part of the further church from Papua New Guinea. Most of our churches are in Taiwan or on the West Coast. So, again, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be an extension of your commitment to mission. I want to introduce my family really quick. That's my wife, Gail, and two daughters, Abby and Michaela. Yeah, why don't you guys come up really quick? We did this in the Chinese congregation. We always sing a song to kick off the BM church service. So they're going to be singing in the BM language for you guys. Is this on? No. Okay. Just.
Okay. Oh my my torpil tanango timbe tan na pe pasas ma pui pe pil tanango papela o mian gatre oh my 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 tope pil tanango timbe tan be na pe pasas oh my my torpil tanango Babela omien katre, pila mali di mure.
Okay. The song sings of this is, you know, all the papas and mamas, the boys and girls, come and hear the word of God, because the word of God is true. Come, papa, mama, boys and girls, come and hear the word of God. So, just a little introduction. We're here 5 years ago, but man, I don't know too many of you guys remember us. I mean, some of you guys met us, but some of you guys are also new. When we came last time, 5 years ago, we were on our way to Papua New Guinea. And many of you guys been praying for the BM people, but at that time, we didn't know that God was going to send us to minister amongst the BM people. Now, how many of you guys know that Papua New Guinea is not in Africa? Well, you know what? How many of you guys thought Papua New Guinea was in Africa? Okay, yeah, there's an honest vote right there. Probably more than one, but it's not in Africa. It's in the South Pacific. It's right above Australia. One thing unique about Papua New Guinea is that it's got about 860 languages. That's in one country alone. We're not even counting dialects. We're talking about distinct languages. Now, we joined the New Tribes Mission back in 2007. We started the training in 2007, and our mission goes to about 30 different countries in the world, and we minister to the tribal people. We don't go to cities, we don't go to the stations, the towns. You find the missionaries, like, you know, we're in the Amazons, in the hills of the Philippines, in Indonesia, in Papua New Guinea. We go to the tribal people that's usually, I mean, pretty much cut out from the rest of the world. So we went to Papua New Guinea. And God led us to the people we call BM. Now, a lot of people ask, how do you pronounce your people? Just say the letter B and M back to back, and that's a BM people. Now, when we talk about the BM people, the overall population of the BM people is only about 3,000. And I mean, nobody outside of the 3,000 folks speak that language. They live in four different islands. They're not in the mainland. They're in four little islands about 80 miles offshore from the northern coast of Papua New Guinea. So, I mean, think about the 3,000 people and speaking a language that nobody from the outside has ever learned. We were the first group. Ourselves and two other families, one from San Diego, another from Germany. We moved in 2009, and we started learning. We started learning the language and learning their culture. Now, when we went in, I mean, we had to build a house. I mean, it's hard to describe the way we live there. But we live off rainwater. There's no fresh water on the island. We run off solar panels. We don't get food. We need to send a supply boat out to town every 2-3 months to get our supply. We do eat a little bush food, but that can't. I mean, we still need something from the island. Basically, we're cut out from the rest of the world. Just 3 months ago, we finally got internet access. We had to buy a satellite dish. That costs a little bit of money, and we're getting 256K of data. And this is what, like 15 years ago, maybe. But 3 months ago, before we had to use the radio. I don't even know the technology, but it was, I mean, even every email, a 50K email, it takes 10 minutes, 20 minutes to transmit. So just add up all the emails that you get. I mean, we didn't get anything real time. And like our team, because we live kind of offshore, I mean, just imagine in the middle of the ocean, this little volcanic rock just kind of sticking out. By the way, there is a live volcano in our backyard. And so we're 80 miles offshore. The island is small. When I say island, it's about 1.5. The diameter is only about 1.5 miles. So it's a tiny little thing. So our team, we subscribe to these tsunami warnings. And for the past 3 years, we always get these tsunami warnings through the radio transmission. And every time we get it, it's like 12 hours, gone already. So we just decided, this is not safe. I mean, none of it make it real time. So we decided to take the plunge and buy ourselves a satellite dish and get internet. So life is different there. Now, the BM people too, they don't live like we do. They farm, they fish, and they've been living like that for generations. And our guys, they are animist. When I say animist, they believe in the spirits. Any rock this big enough, any tree big enough, it's got a spirit in there. And we had to spend time with them for them to tell us that. Now, we found out later, but when we moved in, when the three families moved in, all the BM people said, you know what? We want their medicine. We want their supplies. But, man, don't tell them what we believe. Don't tell them about our ancestors. Don't tell them about our witchcraft, our sorcery. But slowly, as we spend time with them, we earn credibility in the community. People start coming to us. Man, they told me not to tell you. But here it is anyway. I want you guys to know because they weren't sure themselves. They wouldn't show themselves. When we see guys out fishing, for us fishing, you do it for pleasure. They probably do it for food. But we didn't realize this until later that every time they go fishing, they were talking to their dead ancestors, asking the spirits to help them to get a fish. And then when we came, I'm a white skin. I'm a white skin. Anybody who's not black in New Guinea, they call us white. Okay? So when we went over there, they said, they believe that all the outsiders, anybody who's not BM, basically, from anybody who's not Papua New Guinea, we are the spirits of the dead ancestors returning to give them material goods. I mean, this is the kind of worldview that they live in. And how do we bring the gospel? How do we bring the gospel to them? Now, I still remember I shared this in one of my prayer letters that while we were still learning language, we had to learn two languages in Papua New Guinea. We had to learn the trade language. That's commonly spoken in towns, but once we move into the tribe, we had to learn their language. So in the past 4 years, we had to learn two completely new languages. While we were learning the second language, the BM language, the more difficult one, I was out walking one day. I haven't got it yet. I was walking out one day at night, and this guy, I'm just kind of chatting with him over fire pit, and he asked me, Wayne, what's taking you so long? What's taking you so long? You guys promised when you guys came, you guys going to bring us to God's talk in our language. And he said this in BM. He said, man, if I die tonight, I don't know where I'm going. And I don't know who I'm going to be with. Man, I don't know this. So, hurry up. Hurry up. I mean, study. I mean, learn our language so we can hear God's talk. We can hear God's talk in our language. And they speak a full language. And we have three families, the three guys, me and two other guys, we all got pretty good at language. So basically, nobody in the world, except the BM people and us three guys, know how to speak the language. Talking about critical asset. I mean, that's like there's nobody else speak the language. Once we learn a language, we had to invent the written form of the language. See, the BM people, they've been speaking this language for years, I mean, for generations, but they never had words. They didn't know how to write. You know, for them, I mean, as we investigate their culture, every story from their ancestor, I mean, it's one story with 10 different versions because it's all passed down orally and nothing is sure because they didn't have a language. Now, the reason why we had to invent a language and teach it to them is why? Bible translation, yes, because you know what? Yes, but at that point we could orally communicate the gospel to them, but we don't want their faith to become just something that's passed down orally again. We want them to have something to stand on, and that is the Word of God. So we started translation, we started preparing for lessons, and last summer we started teaching them. We started teaching them the Word of God. It was from Genesis all the way to the cross and the resurrection. And after that, the teaching went on. But the gospel portion of the message took about 3 months. It wasn't just one day. Hey, do you believe Jesus loves you? No. We had to go back. Who created this rock? Who created this island? Because in our people's mind, whoever created this tree, he has the right to master. He has the right to boss it around. Whoever created them, whoever put this language and this people group in these islands, he is God. And they didn't know who he was. So we had to start from the very beginning, and we did it for 3 months. I have a short video clip that is the birth of the BM church. So we'll just go ahead and show that.
Okay. Yesus lamut ngine jal jalila sogot sina kabajal ramaramtak Yesus lamut ngine jalila ila ila gor sina
That's a BM church. This is the your brothers and sisters in Christ. This is different. Every time before we left the island and had to go back, we were going back to an unreached people group. But this time is different. In July, we'll be going back to the island, but we're going back to the BM church. And if anything, I'm representing the BM church in front of you guys and bring their greetings and thank you guys for your commitment to missions. Before we go into the Word of God today, I want to share with you guys just a couple convictions that we as a family, and I believe every Christian, we need to stand on. And if you don't share these two convictions, man, you're not going to get my talk. You're really not going to get what I'm going to talk about today. You might see some, National Geographic pictures, and man, that's really cool, man. South Pacific Island, man, they're drinking coconut. They're so happy, But no, this is about God's story. So I mean, just share with you guys two convictions that we have, and these convictions drive every decision that we make as a family. And when I share these, man, I'm not trying to present ourselves as somebody who's perfect. No, we fall all the time. But the aim is still the same. Now, the first conviction is, guys, how many years did Jesus teach on this earth? About three, right? Now, about him, I mean, he taught a lot of things. He taught, the disciples or the crowd, everybody, how to forgive debt, how to pray, when people owe you money. He taught them a lot of things. But notice, after he died on the cross, after he rose again, how many things did he teach? How many things, what did he command? Now, I'm not saying everything he taught before he died on the cross, forget that. No. But everything led to this one commandment after he rose again. And what is that? Take this story. Guys, go. Go to the nations. Make disciples of all nations. I mean, he wasn't suggesting it. He was saying, guys, go. Go. And they went. Now, I believe the conviction is this. If a church compromises on this direct commandment of Jesus Christ, that church will compromise on a lot of other things. Now, as a believer, as a follower, I'm not talking missionaries now. As a Christian, if we compromise on the Great Commission, man, pretty soon we'll compromise on many other things too. Now, again, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, you guys are one of our supporting churches. But again, I mean, so often we kind of put mission aside to, man, whenever missionaries pass by, then we talk about mission. Then we have that, I don't know, I mean, Mission Sunday, then we talk about missions. But no, this is at the very core of what we do. Now, some of you guys look a little nervous, okay? I'm not saying you guys are going to follow me back to Papua New Guinea, okay? But each one of you guys need to be connected with the Great Commission in your own way. You got to respond in your own way. Now, if we compromise on that, man, we will compromise on many other things. Now, the second conviction is this. How we sing, how we worship dictates how we live. How we sing, how I'm sharing here, how we sung this Sunday. God, I give you my all, right? Everyday offering. I mean, we don't just sing that and go back and make decisions with the world from Monday to Saturday. No, Christian life is actually pretty easy. How we worship here on Sundays, that should dictate everything we do. I mean, I still remember we're pastoring in California, and I mean, every Sunday we go to church, you know, I preach, and usually, you know, people who don't like the sermon, they don't come to me, but people who liked it, you know, they'll go, hey, Wayne, you did a good job. Thank you for sharing the Word of God. And you know, I was doing it week in and week out. I was a pastor already. And I still remember one Sunday, we're driving back, and I turned to Gail, and I said, Gail, unless we make some major changes in our family, I can't preach like this anymore. You know, I was talking to my church about eternity, about many, I was talking to them about missions, but I just turned, I said, Gail, unless our family, our own lives, unless we start making some different, I was a pastor already, right? I mean, nobody would think any less of me if I continued to pastor. But I just felt like, man, there was no way that God wanted us to pastor and retire in suburban California. And I told Gail, man, I mean, unless we make some changes, you know, I don't want to just preach and not lay, you know, lay my life before God and say, God, my life's got to go with it. And your life too, how we worship. How we worship? I mean, we sing about the nations, we sing about the world, we sing about eternity all the time. And it's actually not that hard to set it as a goal. I mean, it's pretty basic. It's hard. I fall down all the time. You're going to fall down all the time. But it's not hard to set that as a goal. You know what? I will live how I worship. I will live how I worship. And I, if you follow that conviction, I feel like you're going to be in pretty good hands. You're going to be pretty good hands. Okay, let's go to our passage today. And the Ephesians 4 passage that was read now. And I keep on thinking about our BM people, you know, our BM friends, our BM brothers and sisters. And I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but let me just summarize this. Paul was telling the Ephesian church, and he was telling them in chapter 4, verse 17, he said, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Meaning, man, they were Christians already, but Paul was telling them, man, don't live like the Gentiles. You know, they're darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God, and they lost all sensitivity and then gave themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Now, if you have this idea, this preconceived notion that they are tribal groups out in the South Pacific, sipping coconut, you know, fishing off the white sand beach, and then they're just living an innocent, happy life, I can tell you right now, those guys don't exist. You know, our guys, the BM guys, they know sin. I mean, they murder, they rape, they steal, they lie, they backstab. I mean, they beat their wives, and the wives sometimes beat on their husbands. I mean, they're bad. And they know sin. See, in a tribal culture like that, where, man, it's a tiny little island, and And everybody kind of, I mean, you're talking about the same group of people living together for generations without much contact with the outside world. So everybody knows everybody's business. You know, I mean, I know. I mean, what do you mean you didn't beat your wife last night? She was wailing outside my window. I mean, nothing gets hidden. Every sin spills out in the eyes of the community. I mean, they were like that. They were like these guys. Dark and having lost all sensitivity, they were indulging in every sin. And that's them. But you know what? I come to believe that we're not so different, you know, than the BM tribal folks. You know, we come to church in our best Sunday clothes, but I don't know what you do between Monday and Saturday. I don't know what you do when you close your door. I mean, you don't know what I do. I mean, we're kind of shielded from each other. I mean, unless there's a very special time where everybody's pouring their hearts out, oh, man. But, you know, we don't deal with sin issues much, you know, as gathering of believers. But for the BM folks, and that's in the forefront of every meeting. I mean, this is what they struggle with. That's what they struggle with. But Paul said to them, however, this is not a way of life you learned. Or in other translation, he said, that's not how you learn Christ. That's not how you learn Christ. You're a Christian now. You're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be different. You were taught in regard to your former way of life to put off your old self and then to put on your new self and to be made new in the attitude of your mind. You know, Paul was telling the Ephesian church, man, you guys are different now. And as I think about our ministry to the BM people, it's not over yet. We still have Bible translation to do. We still got to train up leaders in the church so that they can stand on God's word themselves. Now think about ourselves in the North American church. In the North American church. You know, how are Christians different? How are Christians different? You know, Paul was spelling out for the church, in case you guys didn't get it, there's the old self and there's the new self. And you guys are supposed to be different. You guys are supposed to be different. Now, we labor to that end. I mean, there's a lot of missionary stories where, man, missionaries spend years of their lives, you know, laboring in the tribe. But as soon as missionaries leave, you know, the tribe go back to the way of life before. You know, they were meeting because of the missionaries. They were standing on the missionaries' words. We don't want that to be, you know, the case for the BM people. Now, as we want them to be different, you know, let's reflect this Sunday. How are we different? Let's believe. How are you different? In what areas of our lives are we supposed to be different? No, we're Christians. We're supposed to be. We're supposed to be different. Now, the very first difference is Christians, we have a different treasure. We have different treasures. We have different treasures. What does Matthew 6 tell us to do? To store for ourselves treasures where? On the earth? No, treasures in heaven. And the Bible also says, wherever your treasure is, your heart's going to be there too. You know, you may never care about McDonald's, but if you buy their stocks, I bet every time you drive past a McDonald's, you're going to check, man, are people eating in their restaurant? Right? Because you put your treasure in there already. Now, the Bible, no, this is human psychology, and this is also biblical principle. Wherever your treasure is, man, your heart's going to be there also. Your heart's gonna be there too. You know what? To you guys here, we are the crazy missionaries. We left everything we have in California, and we you know, gave away riches of the world, and we show, you know, we go become missionaries. And you know what? Guess what? When I show up on BM Island, I'm the richest person they ever known. You know, so it's, you know, I mean, to them, I got everything. You know, I mean, if anything, they believe that, you know, we outsiders have the secret of getting stuff, you know, mysteriously, you know, through some spells and witchcraft of our own. But I mean, they believe that in the beginning. But man, everybody's rich. You know, when we set steps outside of the, you know, United States, and we realize that, man, everybody here, we all live in a Disneyland. You know, we turn on the tap, there's water. Our guys don't get that. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, you may say, man, I'm out of a job right now. You know, I'm strong. I mean, like my house is underwater. I'm not rich. You know, we always know somebody who's richer. Right? So anytime when we address about being rich, you know, I mean, right away we think about the other guy, because we all know somebody who's richer. But no, compared to our guys, we're all rich. You know, we're all rich. We know we don't have to, you don't have to worry about if you don't hook a fish today, your family's gonna go hungry. Okay? Now, I'm not sending you guys on the guilt trip. You know, money in itself is not bad. What does the Bible say? Money is evil? No. What's evil? The love of money. The love of money is evil. Now, Christian, we have a different treasure. Now, it comes down to this, guys. If the way a Christian spends $1 million, if a Christian spends $1 million the same way as a non-believer spends $1 million, then where is our faith? How does our faith make any difference in our lives? If the way we spend $1,000, no, I mean, for young people, if the way you spend $100 is exactly the same way as your friends spend $100, then you know what? What is your faith? You know, where is our faith? I mean, how is it changing our lives? How are our treasures different from the unbelievers? You know, I mean, some of you guys been to short-term mission trips in South America or in third world country, and you guys know, I mean, missionaries, I mean, we're the poor guys, you know, back home, but for them, we're the richest person they ever met. And they're heavily depending on, man, we got all the medicine, we got all the used clothing, I mean, we could help them out in so many different ways. So they're very dependent on us. They're very dependent on us. My coworker's brother, he works at a different tribe in Papua New Guinea, and they are phasing out. The church is planted, a church has its own leaders, and they're dedicating actually the Bible sometime this summer. And last year, there were a bunch of believers from this tribe came up to the missionary, and they said something, man, I've never heard it in Papua New Guinea, but they said something. They said to the missionary, we know your parents are old. Go back. Your job is done here. Go back. We don't need anything from you anymore. You have brought us the only thing that we need, and that is the Word of God. That is the Word of God. So you know what? You're almost done. You know, finish it and just go back. Just go back. You know, we want to thank you, but we don't need you anymore. But man, when we hear things like that from the tribal people, if the BM Church one day say that to us, then we know these guys, they're seeing a different treasure now. They're not looking at my medicine. They're not looking at my fish hooks. They're looking at, no, God's Word, that's a treasure. In fact, in the folks in that tribe, they, you know, they're persecuted quite a bit by other villagers who don't believe in the talk. And a lot of them are, you know, a lot of the outsiders are mocking the church. Man, you guys are going just because of missionaries. You guys are getting all the stuff from them. And they're saying, man, we want the missionaries to leave so that the rest of the community is going to see that we are standing on God's Word. We're not here because, you know, they have something. No, we're here for God. We're here because our treasure is in the Word of God. So I want to challenge you guys, just as we hope for the BM people, BM Church to be different. Man, how are we different? How are you different? Where is your treasure? How are you spending your money? How are you spending your money? Now, the second thing that we're different, Christians are different, is our lives are different. Our lives are different. Now, when I say our lives are different, I'm not talking about your spiritual life or your spiritual walk. I'm talking about a very basic physical life, a very, very physical life. I'm 36 this year, and hopefully, I'll have a 37th birthday. I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Hopefully, I'll have a 50th birthday. But you know what? I know I'm going to have a 200th birthday. I know I'm going to be celebrating my 852nd birthday. I know I'm going to be celebrating my 2,002,000, you know, gazillionth birthday. I know for sure. That's your life. That's my life. You guys know what I'm talking about? We get to live forever, right? When we put our faith in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross, we get eternal life. You get to live forever. I get to live forever. So let me ask you, do you realize that? And are you making decisions according to that? Or are you simply managing a life of 70 years? And all your decision making, I mean, you're making those decisions geared toward, man, how can I manage these 70 years of my life while forgetting that, man, I need to manage a life of eternity. See, if you're only managing a life of 70 years and 80 years, man, you're gonna be depressed. And maybe that's why there's a lot of depressed people, even within the church, because the wars of this world. Now, I'm not downplaying the harsh reality sometimes that we have to go through. But man, you don't live just 70 years. You don't live just 50 years. You live forever. So the decision that we make on this ground in this time right now, we should make the decisions that's going to impact all eternity. You know, 2 years ago, out of nowhere, Gil was diagnosed with breast cancer. You know, we went to the hospital. You know, it's bad, probably stage one. You know, then the doctor operated. Oh, no, that's stage two. They did a biopsy. No, it's stage three. And those of you guys know cancer, there's not many more stages. I mean, it's bad. It's not good. But you know what? I mean, many people ask, how do you guys deal with it? And how do you even go back to Papua New Guinea after that? You know, were we sad? I mean, were your face shaken? I mean, yeah, we were sad. I mean, I don't want to see my wife go through the chemotherapies and the radiation. But let me ask you this. When the big event, when tragedy hits, when illness hits, if Christians grieve the same way as unbelievers, then where's our faith? How are we different? We're different today. They're shopping in malls, eating in restaurants. We're here. We're different this way. But when tragedies hit, if we grieve the same way as people who don't have faith in Jesus Christ, then how are we different? Then we want the BM people to know that, man, they're not just managing a life of 50, 60, 70 years. And we also need to know that, man, we are not living, managing a life. You know, how many decisions you make, all the decisions you make on a daily basis or in your life, you're only making it to make your, you know, 65, 85 years of life here better. And you lose sight of the fact that, man, God has called us to make decisions in light of eternity. You know, a very old missionary told me once, and he said, this is how you gauge your church, your tribal church, to see if they changed. He said, man, when your people start doing their funerals differently, That's when you know that they're changed. Because that's when we're tested. Again, when tragedy hits, are you grieving over a life of 70 years? Or do you grieve, but at the same time knowing that you have that assurance of, man, I get to live forever. So that's quite okay. That's quite okay. So guys, we have a different treasure and we have a different life. And lastly, let me just do this really quick. Guys, Christians, we fall differently. We fall differently. You know, I mean, when we talk about missions, when we talk about money, we talk about choices, we talk about how you manage your life, it's a very guilt-producing topic. I mean, you're going to feel like, man, these missionaries, they got all figured out. Man, I'm sitting here, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, but no, I don't have everything all figured out. But man, Christians, when we try to aim to live for God, we're gonna fall. You guys know I'm gonna fall. I fall all the time. But we're different in the sense we fall differently. We fall into the grace of God. You know, we aim, God, I'm gonna live for you, and we don't compromise. We don't hold back. But knowing that, man, even in the cases when we fall into the grace of God. Guys, this is big for our people, the BM people. You know what? In the BM language, there's no word for forgiveness. We still don't know how to translate this word. I mean, for them, they don't forgive. They don't forgive. I mean, I don't know how many times I have BM people come, man, you guys can forgive, but not us. We're the BM. We don't forgive. We always have to pay back. We always have to pay back. Even if it's 20 years later, we got to pay back. I mean, they understand the concept of forgiveness, but man, they don't have the word for it. You know, in the beginning, when there were no Christians and they didn't really understand what Jesus did on the cross, you know, we asked them, you know what? What's forgiveness? I mean, just we explained the concept to them, and they said, yeah, we don't really have a word for it, but you could say this. This is how we say, it's nothing. That's nothing. But I can't translate that, in our current transgressions, God said, that's nothing. No, it's a big deal. It's a big deal that he sent his son Jesus down the cross so that we can have a relationship with him. But guys, as we aim to live for God, as we aim to, you fall differently. As you aim to live for him, you fall into the grace of God. And because we know that, that's why we run this race. Because we know that, that's what we aim for eternity. Because we know we fall into the grace of God, that's why we live for God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. We fall into the grace of God. So guys, pray for the BM people, but also examine ourselves. We want them to have a different treasure, different life, and understanding of forgiveness. At the same time, we, as those in the praying for the BM church, know that you have a different treasure. Know that you have a different life. And know that, when we aim to live for God, live boldly. Why? Because we fall into the grace of God. And now today is a time for communion. And I'll be leading you guys in communion. Just about two months ago, we did our first communion on the island. And guess what we used on the island? Well, we didn't have any bread or juice. We had two coconuts. We broke the coconut, and we used the coconut meat as the broken body of Jesus. We used the water for the blood. And that was a huge deal for our guys. We kept on teaching after the gospel presentation in Acts, and it's like, they're breaking the bread, and these guys are doing that. We're believers already. Should we be doing that as well? So, as we led the BM people in communion, that was a big deal for them. It was a public declaration of their faith in Jesus Christ. And as we meet as a church body today, as you partake in the elements, think about your treasure. Think about your life. Think about, are you still living under the law? You feel like you got to do everything to please God, or you know that God is satisfied with you already because of your faith in his son, Jesus Christ. So when you aim to live for him, you fall into his grace. And this is something that, as we meet as a church body, let's reflect on that. I know in CTPC, we practice a open communion. Even if you're a visitor or you're baptized somewhere else, as long as you're a baptized believer, you're welcome to take the elements. But we also practice a closed communion, in that if you're not baptized, please refrain from taking the elements. Now, nobody's going to look at you funny. This is also your time. This is also your time to talk to God, to see, if you're ready to take the next step of faith as a public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ. But again, open communion and a closed communion. I want to invite all the deacons to come up.